You're listening to World Oil's Deep Dive, where you'll get to know the authors of technical articles in World Oil magazine and learn more about their company's technology and how it's shaping our industry. Now, here's your host, Jim Watkins.
All right, I'm here today with the good people here at Vallourec. We're talking about the article that was in the April 2019 issue, starting on page 49. And it was on riser project management. The title is Riser Project Management, Far Beyond Just Rolling Steel. And so we have Jeff Bachmiller, who's the riser project manager. We also have Michael Tricarico. He's the riser product manager here at Vallourec. And we also have Joe Hill, who's director of VAM Field Service. And we're going to discuss this article starting on page 49 in the April 2019 issue of World Oil. Once again, it's called Riser Project Management, Far Beyond Just Rolling Steel. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, so we're just going to go around the table here. And why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves, educational background, how you wound up at Vallourec?
Sure. My name is Mike Tricarico. I got a mechanical engineering degree from Brigham Young University and first came down to the Houston area working on a cargo mission contract for NASA. I stayed there for a few years and kept on looking over at the oil patch, you know, kind of like looking over on the other side of the field, wanted to get into the game, and eventually made it over to the oil patch. I worked as an R&D engineer for VAM USA for 2 years. I got to stretch, bend, blow up stuff, which I enjoyed, and from there, was given the great opportunity to work for Vallourec on our riser products. So all things riser, both drilling, production, and as in the case of the article, it deals with workover, completion, and landing risers.
Excellent. So do you go around calling yourself a rocket scientist?
Well, I think since I left that industry, I don't really want to call myself a rocket scientist since I got out and came to the oil patch. I call myself a riser scientist.
There you go. All right, Joe, how about yourself?
So Joe Hill, I've been with Vallourec for 21 years and VAM too. Had several jobs within Vallourec, but most recently in charge of field service for North America. I've got a BA in business and also a master's from Tulane. And excited to be here and excited to collaborate with Jeff and Mike on this important project.
Excellent. All right. And Jeff?
So my name is Jeff Bachmiller. I've got a Bachelor of Science in Business from Purdue University. And I started with this company 11 years ago inside sales role for our OCTG group. And I think now it's been almost 4 years since I joined the Riser group and handle all things Riser projects.
Excellent. All right. So this is a brain trust for this project then, right, that we're talking about in the article. So just starting on page 49, let's go through that a little bit. You're talking about this was in the Gulf of Mexico, right? So just give us kind of overview of what the project was.
So this was a bit of a unique project in that typically in the past, when customers have come to us, they've come to us for what our specialty is, which is pipe and connections. And so typically in the past, a lot of what we've done just revolves specifically around delivering our proprietary pipe and our premium connections. This project differed greatly from that because we were tasked with handling everything else within the project, not specific to just pipe and connections, but as you go through the article, you'll find out that we were in charge of handling pressure testing. We were in charge of doing coating. We handled all of the accessories manufacturing. So this project just engulfed a lot more than piping connections. And so that's what set it apart. It was unique because we bundled everything together.
And now this is one of the things that kind of surprised me because I would assume that happens all the time, right? I mean, obviously, as we go through the article, we'll see the advantages that you get from having one main contact point, handling all these things and putting it together for the customer. But does it not happen as frequently as I think it would?
Oftentimes, it's either the end user themselves will take on a lot of those tasks, or they'll have an engineering company take on those tasks, which aren't necessarily bad ways to do it. However, in this case, we were able to be a lot quicker and a lot faster because we were the ones providing the pipe. We had direct contacts with the mills to know exactly when they were coming out. It was able to smooth things over quite a bit for the end user by having us do it versus a third party or themselves, the end user themselves doing it.
Right.
And the other thing is at any point in the project, our customer, the end user, could pick up the phone and call Mike or myself at any point in time and ask us about any potential part of the project. And we could provide the answer right then and there. Instead of typically having six or seven different contacts at different companies, you've got two phone numbers, pick it up and say, hey, Mike, hey, Jeff, where are we at on this? And we could provide a response in a matter of 30 minutes.
Yeah, and that's fantastic because that has to give a certain amount of reassurance too, you know, and not having to be like, oh, that's not my job. You can call that other guy, you know, and that type of thing. So, no, well, let's get into it. So what were the big problems? You know, right out of the chute, we start throwing around some API ratings on the riser qualifications. Help me out. I'm not technical. What's an API 17G or a 5C5 or a 5CT?
No, great question. Those are, so anytime you're working in an offshore environment in a workover riser, so workover riser meaning the riser that's used to, I kind of think of it as a big plumber. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime you have your toilet's not working or you have an issue with your plumbing, you call the plumber and he sticks, you know, a big snake or something down there, does all that work. That's really what a workover riser is. It's something at the bottom of the ocean. You have a well at the bottom of the ocean and you need to access it for either to put chemicals in or to put mechanical things in. So you have this specialized riser pipe that ship comes over, goes down. You know, in this case, it's about 5,000-6,000 feet that it goes down. And then you can put any chemicals in there. You can put any type of mechanical things because wells get clogged. They get they stop flowing. Or, you know, at startup, you have some things you want to do at that well startup. So this allows you to really access subsea wells in a very safe way that makes sure there's no chance of any type of spills or hydrocarbons getting out. These are high pressure premium pipe and connections that protects you and allows you to access that subsea well. And to do that, in order to do that, you have certain specifications or industry standards that say, how do I safely do that? Or how do I make sure that my pipe and connection is safe? And so it gives rules and protocols or tests that you have to perform that show, yes, indeed, I have a good pipe and connection that's going to be safe for this application. So API 17G and API 5C5 are just different industry specifications that say you must do this number of tests and in this order, and you have to pass it with this much pressure, and your design has to have such and such safety factor. So it gives you all of those details. It's an industry standard that gives you those details to make sure you can deliver it. It's quite hard to pass, actually, especially as you go to higher pressures, as this one is a 15,000 PSI system. But we were able to successfully pass that test, and quite successfully, and with very good performance. The customer and user was very happy with the performance.
Excellent. So there's the API standards and then there's the standards that the operator might want, which might even be more than that, right?
Most operators have some additional things they add on. So in this case, for example, they had some special fatigue requirements. They wanted us to do the fatigue test a little bit different. Of course, when you're in a water column, your riser is waving back and forth in the waves. And so they had some special requirements that we added on, for sure. You always have specialized things, especially when you have a major or super major, they've always got some things that they want to add in.
Right, exactly. And so going on, still on page 49 then, you throw this really long acronym, I'm not even going to read it off, but you can see it is right under there, under the GOM case study. What are those acronyms? It's actually two acronyms, isn't it?
So this is just the product description of what we supplied, which, to go into a little bit more detail, is a 7-inch OD or outside diameter pipe by a heavy wall, which is a 0.85-inch wall thickness. And the grade of the steel is a VM110 SSD, which stands for 110 KSI, Sour Service NACE D Tested Pipe. So that VM110 SSD is just the description of the material.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll see it's VAM, which is designates one of our VAM premium connections, TTR being top tension riser, and then HW is our heavy wall.
Oh, okay.
So that long description is a 7-inch by 0.85 wall VM110 SSD VAM top tension riser heavy wall.
Excellent. All right. Glad you explained it to me because, like I said, I'm not technical. That's beyond me. And continuing on to page 50 then. So we're talking about the manufacturing of the pipe and the connections. And I think one of the things that really just leapt out in this article to me was that you were using three different mills, like in two different countries,
so
to get that done, right?
So to expand on that, and I was just jogging my memory going back in terms of how all the manufacturing and production route went, It actually incorporated 4 different Valorec-owned entities across the world.
Wow.
And as you read in the article, we used our piercing mill in Mülheim, Germany. We used our forge mill in Anjou, France. And then we used our finishing plug mill in Germany. But that's actually not all we used. That's just specific to the mill. But if you look at the project in general, we used R&D resources from France. Like we said, we used our mills from Germany, our mills from France. Then we used VAM-USA's R&D facility locally here in Houston. And then we used our accessories company, which is Valorec Tubeloy, to manufacture accessories here in the United States. So really, when you look at the map, I mean, I think we just about nailed every single Valorec-owned entity that we could for this project, which actually, it worked out very well.
And, you know, and in addition, I mean, Joe's sitting here as well, but we used our VAM field service as well in multiple times throughout this project, as we'll touch on later. There was a lot of different Valorec and VAM entities involved to make this a successful project.
This was a true Valorec team project, so.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, and I mean, not to plug Valorec in particular, but I mean, this is what you can, this is why you guys could pull this off, having these entities all around the world and having this expertise in these different areas, putting together and managing a project of this scope, right? And somewhere else in there, I think I underlined it, I can't remember where it was, but it was the first time it had been done in the U.S.? What was that? I'm going to find that piece.
So this connection, this was the, I'm not sure which section you're referring to, but this was the first time that connection was manufactured in the United States at Valorec Tubeloy.
Ah, okay.
So
that's that. All right. So did this manufacturing, global manufacturing, and then had to get the stuff pressure tested. And so that was a challenge because this is an unusual project as well, right?
Definitely. So API 17G, as we talked about before, is the specification or the industry standard for it. That's a little bit different than most pipe manufacturer in that it requires a very high pressure test for each and every pipe to be performed. And so that high pressure is outside of the capacities of most mills. You can't really, it's very difficult to do in-house. Right now, as part of any standard, any type of pipe that comes out, it has a hydro pressure test in it that makes sure every pipe is good to go. It's just a very much higher pressure test. And so we decided the best way for us to accomplish that was to, since we couldn't do it in the mill, was to do it after once it came to the U.S. Now, of course, we had done pressure tests in our mill, so we were very confident in the performance of all of the pipe, but we still had to meet the exact, it's very prescriptive, you have to meet the exact pressure, which is, in this case, was 22,500 PSI. So it's quite a high pressure. So we brought it to the U.S. to perform that testing.
Oh, okay.
And with that, that meant engaging another supplier to assist us in the project outside of one of our Valorec entities.
Right.
And exactly. So we went to a company called Stress Engineering Services. They have facilities in Houston and Waller. We took all of this out to their Waller facility to be pressure tested. And with that, we had to engage another Valorec entity, which is our VAM Services in France, to build all of the test fixtures, what you attach to end of the pipe in order to be able to pressure test. So not only did we have to coordinate delivery of that pipe from Germany to the United States, but we also had to obtain, I think we got 6 different configurations of test fixtures from France that we had to deliver here too, which there's actually a funny story about that if you're interested.
Sure, tell me.
So when our group in France delivered them, they came in large Pelican cases. There were actually 12 of them. They delivered it to an invoicing office at our end user's business office. And literally, these things weigh 80 pounds a piece. And so we had to get access to the end user's property, go and pick them up and deliver them out to Stress. So,
did they understand what they were for when they got them? Or
not
were they just signing for it? They were
not
like,
a clue.
What are these Pelican boxes from France?
Not
what
a clue. They were all sitting outside in front of a lady's office. And she was literally like, what do I do with these?
Oh, man. So also just there on page 50 down toward the bottom, you mentioned that one challenge that arose during the pressure testing part was dealing with a large quantity of range 3 pipe. Is range 3 a shorthand for that API configuration?
It's just one of the designations of different lengths. So a range 3 is typically, 34 feet and above? And then range 2 is something like 22. I'm going to get all the API people listening are going to get me wrong for my numbers, but it's around 20, 24 feet to 34 feet. and then range one is below.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But so, as I said, my API is going to get me wrong for quoting up the exact numbers.
And this was also an interesting project, too, because the pipe was made up into quads, which isn't seen all the time. So four pieces of pipe are put together, and then it's run into the water. So we can see doubles and triples. So this one was kind of interesting and fun because it had four pieces of pipe that were made into a stand, right. And the stand was run at one time.
Wow. Is that just for efficiency's sake because you can get it down faster that way?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
One of the challenges we ran into with the pressure testing is typically they don't handle the longer pipe when they do the pressure testing out at the facility. Typically it's on much shorter pieces, and so they had to modify and build and set up a specific testing chamber for us outside.
Oh, wow.
And dealing with the summer heat, it made testing a little bit difficult. So
yeah,
it was very unique in that this was probably one of the first times they had done a large quantity of longer pipe. So,
and I like on page 51 that the picture you have there. So what is that? I thought it was a grill. I thought you guys were grilling outside in the summer. What is that? What is that picture of?
If you look in between the guys, you'll see a black piece at the end of that pipe. That is the test fixture that gets screwed onto the end.
Ah, okay.
And then they plug in equipment into that to pressure it up with water. And so they have to do that manually on every single pipe, cap both ends, put it into the chamber using a manual forklift, and then pressuring it up. And so it took some time.
Yeah.
And then that grill that you're seeing there is actually the wash station. So after they perform the pressure test, they have to put storage compound back on there so it doesn't rust or anything like that. And so they'll pull that little tray over there, and that captures all the material because it's for environmental reasons. They don't, you know, wash it down the drain. So that captures everything. So that's a fancy little wash station.
Excellent.
And you'll notice the guy in the blue shirt with the gray stripe on his back. That is one of our VAM field service reps. And very important to remember, at every point in the process, going back to pipe manufacturing, threading of the pipe, shipping, pressure testing, coating, we have a VAM field service rep who has trained in understanding the technical aspects of all of our connections to monitor, to witness, to get his hands dirty, and to make sure that anybody that handles our product does so safely and appropriately.
That's great.
So they are there with us every step of the way.
That's a great added value, really.
And there was something also interesting about this that just jogged my memory, but we also sent over a licensed thread representative to Germany, special for this project, to make sure that everything that was being done properly. And also when it came to the U.S., we had people with hands-on experience about how the pipe was manufactured and gauged. So this, like you were saying, is one more way for us to bring value to the customer and to prove that when they get this product that they're well integrity and everything's going to be the right way.
Perfect. That is impressive.
Hi, this is Andy McDowell, publisher of World Oil. Thank you for joining the podcast today. Please make sure to check out worldoil.com for more news, technical articles, and case histories on upstream technology. Now back to the show.
And once again, for everybody who's listening right now, that's on page 51 of the April 2019 issue, figure 4, if you want to see that picture we were just talking about. All right, so then we talk about the accessory manufacturing and the story about, that was the Pelican story, right?
Yeah.
The accessories coming over?
Well, this was one of the most unique parts of the project is not only was this the first time for this specific product to be manufactured in Germany, this was also the first time that it was manufactured here in the United States. And so what we did is we had the mill in Germany produce plain end pipe, so no connections on the end. Once Germany had finished producing some plain end pipe, they shipped it here in order to be cut up and to made into accessories. And so not only did we have first-time threading going on in Germany, we also had first-time threading going on here at Valorec Tubeloy, who handles all of our accessories or our shorter pieces and some of our different completion parts. And so what we found is that I think for one of the first times in history, we had two different threading facilities speaking at the same time, working out bugs, working out kinks, looking at best practices, helping each other achieve the same goal of going through the production of a first-time product. So,
oh, wow. And so that's what you're talking about with the running in parallel.
Agreed.
With the mill in Germany, right?
Yep.
So, oh, interesting. Yeah, that is good. So then we get on to the crossover M&B testing. Tell us a little bit about that.
So At the top and bottom of any string, we had high strength steel. One of the ways that we were able to, or one of the benefits to our end user of using our Valorec high strength steel was it saves weight while also being able to do sour service, which is wonderful. But the problem is that when at the top and bottom of the string, you have to go to a different piece that has to attach the equipment at the top and the bottom. They're very critical pieces. In that case, they wanted to use an Inconel, which is a different grade of material. Inconel material that was harder to interface with. Because the way, when we say make and break, it means put it together. Every time you put it together, if you have metals that aren't the same, oftentimes you can have issues. They don't play nice together. They don't go together very nice.
One could damage the other.
One damages the other. And so we had to be very careful in our design to make sure that we had a connection that could go over to that new material, because we had to have a different material at the top and bottom. And so this test was to make sure that we could put it together and take it apart successfully with that different material, that different grade of material. And so that's the testing that Jeff talked earlier about that we did in the U.S. And we utilized our research and development lab in Houston, our VAM-USA research and development lab, to perform that testing and show indeed that we had designed it in such a way that you could put this together and take it apart for an acceptable number of cycles. Right. So it could be used in the field.
Excellent. Yeah, and I think before I saw, it was an older article that we had in World Oil where they were talking about the make and break for, I think, connection was it? I think it was a special shale connection or something, and how they really abuse those. Mm-hmm. They make sure that they hold up, yeah. All right, so then all of that, and we still just manufacture the pipe and put the fittings on it. So now we still got the coating and a high-speed bar coating system. So tell us a little bit about the coating then, because in the article on page 52, you're talking about how the client kind of changed it up and they went away from the thermal spray aluminum, which is what everything was set up for in the beginning, right?
Yeah, so typically on all of our open water risers, that the coating that is spec'd is a thermal spray aluminum, which is really an enhanced coating that goes on the outside of the pipe to ensure longevity in the water and to avoid marine growth, which is right from the get-go of the project, we had been working towards. Midway, maybe three-quarters of the way through the project, our customer, the end user, decided, no, we'd like to go a different direction. We've spec'd out a different coating, which required some quick on-the-fly changes during the project management phase to, number one, engage with a new company, understand their quality management system, understand their safety record, understand their product, and see how it would work with ours. So that was an interesting challenge, but we worked with an excellent company that spec'd the different coating. This was a paint-on coating, more of a spray-on and cure coating. And we were able to move quickly, get in their facility, understand that they practice all safety measures that we would expect from any of our subcontractors, and we got the pipe successfully coated in time.
Excellent. That's pretty miraculous, because, you know, anytime a client's like, no, we don't want to do what we already laid out, what we're going to do, let's change it up, that can be a real problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so then, Joe, then we come to your part about the management of all of this and each piece, and I guess through the whole process, right?
Yeah, so like Jeff and Mike were mentioning, field service was a part of all of the activities, which was really important and helped Valorec and VAM leverage this high level of project support. On top of everything else that, you know, Jeff and Mike mentioned, that was a very exciting project just by itself, we had the unique opportunity to apply one of Valorec's new service offers in the Valorec.smart portfolio, which is called Smart & Go Running Expert. So this running expert, what it does is it gives a high level of traceability of every single tube. And then with that, as the pipe is being run, we have a lot of statistics about how fast did it run, if there were rejects, what type of rejects were they, when the pipe is pulled, is there any damage. We can also run analytics after the fact. So for this end user, we were able to run the pipe twice, and we were able to pull the pipe twice successfully using this Running Expert application. And we had a pretty high level of success because we were able, especially in the very first run, to show that the way they were doing it status quo using spreadsheets and paper and things like that, they had a high level of mistakes. So joints were in wrong orders. They had some operational breakdowns that we were able to capture, shed some light on, and then also correct. So the field service people stayed out there the whole time to assist with the app and also assist the end user with making sure that they had an appropriate workover. And we think that they're pretty happy. And in the end, we took all of this data, and then we put this data on a web portal that we then shared with the operator so that he could see exactly how his well performed and the status of all of the joints that were used. So again, not only are we delivering a high level of pipe and connections, but raising the bar even higher by doing this project management and adding more things like Jeff mentioned earlier, to then closing the loop by having this running app that will give the customer a lot of information. Another interesting thing you can see on the bottom of 52, there's this weird looking little gun that where I'm applying the barcodes directly on the pipe. So with this tool and our proprietary software, we're able to apply a barcode that's about 6 foot long. It takes about 6 seconds. I was averaging around 10 seconds ago, and the pipe dries within 2 or 3 seconds. And the other nice thing too, I should probably mention, is that this one application of the barcode on top of this painted surface was able to survive 2 runnings and 2 pulls successfully.
Wow.
So we're going to benchmark that. The pipe is now back on the U.S. shore, and we're gonna benchmark how this looks. But so far it was very successful, and we're super excited to have been given the opportunity to run this with Jeff and Mike.
No, and what's that app called again, Joe?
So the app is called Smart & Go Running Expert.
Running Expert. And was this one of the first uses of it back then? I mean, because this is how long ago was this project?
So this last pull we just did in May, and so it's pretty recent. This is the first time in the world that it's been done on a riser. Mm. We've done 6 applications in the U.S., so 4 I just mentioned here, 1 in the Northeast onshore, and then we also did a VIT, which is a vacuum insulated tube in California. But this has also been run in Brazil, it's been run in the North Sea, and it's also been run recently in Germany.
Oh, that's excellent, because the more data you have, the smarter decisions you can make and the efficiencies you can squeeze out of a process if you know what's what. So.
And I'd probably be remiss if I didn't note that there's going to be a World Oil webcast on June 26th at 9 a.m. that goes into much more detail about this Smart & Go Running Expert.
Oh, excellent.
So everyone can tune in.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely put that in the show notes too, because then everybody will be able to reference that and go and watch that if they want to learn more.
So going back to what we had discussed in the beginning, typically in the past we have just offered pipe and connections. If you look through this project as a whole, capping it off with the running expert, we really did incorporate a full scope of project management in terms of every aspect from start to finish. It was really a neat project to be a part of.
No, it's very, very impressive. And just in the conclusion paragraph there, you kind of go over that, all the different aspects and you know, went into doing the whole project. But now tell me something. This seems like a really, really complex and long project. So what are we talking about time frame wise?
So the first time that we, Valorec, really started looking at this was about 7 years ago. Was the very first time that we looked at this project. Then supplying a lot of information back and forth with the end user, a lot of things, doing R&D testing started about 4 years ago. Then the project was handed off about 2.5-3 years ago to Jeff to really run with. And then since then, of course, since it's been running, then Joe's group has taken it from there and really worked on it. So it's really a very long, you know, any type of project like this for risers, the end user probably about 10, 12 years ago first started. We got involved 7 years ago, and we've been involved ever since that time, really making sure that we deliver the right product to the customer.
That's impressive. And, you know, I think that really does show, you know, how important it is to have a company that's not fly by night and has been around for a long time, right? Because you're not talking about something that's from 1 year to the next. I mean, you need to have somebody who you can trust and you know they're going to be around, right?
Definitely. I mean, when it comes to risers, Valorec has the longest history by far in the industry of providing risers.
Well, excellent. Well, thank all you guys. I really appreciate it. And this has been really good. And hopefully you'll be doing another one of these pretty soon. Do you guys have one working now?
I hope so too.
Everything? Is there one going on now?
Yeah. I mean, we've got multiple projects that are going on. Hopefully, we will get more of these unique opportunities to handle every aspect of it.
That's great. And when you do, be sure and come back and write another article for us.
Excellent. Sounds good. Definitely.
We'll do.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Take care.
Jeff.
Thanks for listening. Take a look at today's show notes for links we mentioned in the podcast. We enjoy your feedback, so if you have any questions or comments, email them to deepdive@worldoil.com. Check out worldoil.com for the best oil and gas industry technical articles and news. And join us next time for another Deep Dive with World Oil.